This week on Radio Free Cybertron, John DeLuna brings us the ATT Buzz and brags about his newest acquisition. Silverbolt Maniac returns to review his first TFC comic, and doesn't say why he can read everyone's email except for those that the crew of Radio Free Cybertron sent him. Keith from ColdHeartSlag.com shows up to read the TF Market Watch for September. And if you don't fall asleep after that, Mutt Boy plays yet another Transformers song. And now, everyone's favorite ATT newsie, John DeLuna and the ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and I hope everybody had a good week, because ATT had a great week. You knew it had to happen sometime or another. We finally got word from Hasbro, or someone associated with Hasbro through pre-Toy Fair media, that we got our first tidbit of information about what Hasbro's planning for after Beast Machines, the next toy line, some of the new toys, some vague descriptions. At least we got some idea of the approach and the direction that they're going to take. And in addition to all that good news, ATT also had some other good discussions about some other topics, G1, new toy releases from Japan, all that good stuff. All in all, it was a great week, so let's get started. Okay, first and foremost on the buzz is that new information about the line of Transformers that Hasbro is apparently going to do after Beast Machines, or right at the tail end of Beast Machines and leading into the later half of 2001, maybe starting in the summer, something like that. Trans-Tech Transformers, and they're going to be, from what we've heard so far, a totally vehicle line, which makes sense. It's a natural graduation. I mean, Beast Machines was half vehicles, and before that, Beast Wars technically had no vehicles, although vehicles did pop up in the Transmetals and Transmetal 2s as third modes and artificial modes and things like that. This is a natural progression that we go all the way full circle back to all vehicle modes. And one of the peculiar things about this line is, well, there's quite a few unusual things about it. First of all, of the preliminary names that we've gotten, lots of them are Beast Wars characters and Beast Machine characters' names, like Rattrap, Cheetor, Silverbolt, and lots of people think, including me, that these guys, although their alt forms are cars, apparently, and they are totally mechanical vehicles, no beast modes to be found. Most people, including myself, think that these are the Beast War characters, at least in characterization. Now, they may not look anything like the Beast War character from the past, as far as the toys, and they may not seem like the Beast War characters, but something tells me that even though these are preliminary names, and they could change, and preliminary names almost always change, the way that these have been set up with three main characters just right in front of us, that these are the Beast War characters, that these are Cheetor, Rattrap, and Silverbolt included in car, vehicle, form. They are the Beast War characters, and their tech specs are going to have some funky, messed up explanation for it. Who cares? Maybe Cheetor will be a fuzzy yellow car. I don't know. I kind of doubt that, but, you know, it'd be kind of ironic if Cheetor's car looks anything like Hot Rod, because back when Beast Wars started, everybody swore that Cheetor was Hot Rod. It'd be some poetic justice if Cheetor looked kind of like Hot Rod. And actually, I wouldn't mind it, seeing Hasbro use new technology to kind of do an homage to Hot Rod's car mode, which I think is spiffy. Now, as far as other possibilities for the Trans-Tech Transformers, lots of people also think it could be repainted car robots, deluxe cars brought over here, slightly repainted, kind of like the Dinobots for the Beast Machines line. That is a possibility, especially since if you look at the other assortments in the Trans-Tech Transformer line, it kind of fits car robots lineup. One of the 3TF Transformers, that's Trans-Tech Transformers shortened, the 3TF line includes a super-sized toy, which could be Super Fire Convoy repainted or just brought over straight, like Magmatron apparently is going to be, with a few modifications, maybe a sound chip taken out, but basically the same toy. Now, I don't think so, I hope not. I hope the 3TF transformer line is completely new, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be, but we're going to have to wait for some more information. But as of now, it's quite interesting.
Okay, also on ATT this week, God Magnus came out last week in Japan, and people are finally over here starting to get their toys in. I should get my God Magnus and set of three Supercar Robot Brother repaints by Friday, but not in time to review on the Buzz. But from what I've seen on ATT, God Magnus has gotten some great reviews, or if at worst, people say he's a good toy. At best, people say he's a great toy. And I've got high hopes for him. I mean, if you look at him, he's got the potential to be a very good toy. Not only is he a good toy in himself, but he also adds Super Fire Convoy, which doubles his value in a way. But so far, people have been really impressed with him. And surprise, surprise, he is electronic. He's got sounds as far as effects in his gun, his weapon, and even that was in doubt. For a long time, people didn't even think he had any external weapons like guns. But now, it looks like he's got a big honking gun with four or five different sounds, which is great. Now, as far as the Supercar Robot Brother repaints go, it looks like they're being packaged in boxes, unlike cards, for the first assortment of the Brothers, and they're going to be packed in robot mode, which has been pretty much a steady theme as far as the second wave of car robots and on. Lots of toys, if not all the toys, have been packaged in boxes and in robot mode. Black Convoy, the Buildmasters, Superfire Convoy in his second assortment, Gigatron in his first assortment was packaged in robot mode. You know, I think this is a case, and I could be wrong, but I doubt it, of Takara trying to separate the repainted Supercar Robot Brothers as much as possible from the originals, maybe in the hopes of tricking some kids into thinking they are totally different toys, because not only do the toys look totally different from their originals, they're packaged totally different. So, in no way are they connected to the original toys, either by packaging or by color. So, if a few kids get tricked into buying them thinking they're totally new toys, well, that's their problem, I guess. Sleazy, but not surprising. Okay, to wrap up the Buzz this week, let me be the first to brag that, as of last Friday, I am the proud owner of a Metals Ravage. Yes, the overpriced, overhyped piece of Takara goodness is mine. And to do a quick little review, let me just say this. Don't pay more than $35 for him, probably total. $30 to $35 for this toy, it's about what he's worth. Anything more is overpaying. But if you can't get him for that price, I say get him, because he's not perfect, but I like him for the simple fact that he is Ravage from the Agenda miniseries, and that's a toy of a character you thought you'd never see, you thought you'd never have. It's kind of like the aura of a Unicron toy. It's not the fact that they could make a perfect Unicron toy or even an attractive Unicron toy in both modes. I mean, they really couldn't, but everybody wants one because of the character. They want to represent a representation of the character on their shelf. And Agenda Ravage, Metals Ravage, it's a lot like that. His Jaguar mode sucks. It's non-existent. It doesn't even count. I mean, it's Transmetal Teodor with horrid kibble on his stomach. Just these two robot arms sticking on the underside of his chest. It's nasty. It's hideous. But that's not why you buy Ravage. You don't buy him for the Jaguar mode. You buy him for the robot mode, which is great. I mean, it looks really close to the Agenda Ravage on the Agenda series on the Beast Wars TV show. Really close, really nice. The Jaguar face is nice. He's got these two quick draw gimmicks where his pistols look like they quick draw right into his hand. Pretty nifty, pretty nice gimmick. Doesn't get in the way of the toy. Looks nice. Now, taking all that into effect, he's basically a giant Action Master, which is cool. Which is fine for $35 or less. I highly recommend Metals Ravage. Yes, he's overrated. Yes, he's overhyped. But for the right price, he's well worth it. And I recommend him. And that's the ATT Buzz for this week. I am John DeLuna.
Hi, this is Gary Chart for RFCybertron.cjb.net. RF Cybertron rocks.
summoned you here for a purpose.
2005.
Transformers.
Silverbolt Maniac here for the TFC update. Well, nothing much to report this week except perhaps about last week's episode, Shadows of Darkness. Now, if you read it, you'll notice it deviates a little from the current storyline. Anyway, I won't say too much until the next episode is up. I've delayed it to next Wednesday, all in the hopes of returning to the normal publishing schedule, which is every Wednesday. Shadows of Darkness Part 2 on next Wednesday. Don't miss it. Now, how many of you listeners are reading the comics? That's what I'd like to know, so drop me a line on the website at tflegion.iwarp.com. You can find the link for our website on Transformers Extreme if you don't understand what I just said. Also, Transformers Extreme will probably be hosting our Zip archives of our episodes. I've yet to receive any word from Prime, but I'm sure it will come soon. Okay, now 3 episodes before the end of the season, and I can't wait to get there. Not that I don't like doing this series, but I have to take a serious break. I'll review our first episode now, The Dark Times. That's what it was called. Now, when the comic started, it was in 3D, but it was all made with a Quake 2 editor. Since then, we've improved the comic beyond any and all expectations, and we keep improving. The story in Episode 1 introduced the readers to a dead Cybertron invaded by strange robotic creatures. Now, there were a lot of plot holes in TF History Gaps. That's why we revised it and published the new one. If you haven't read it yet, and you have read the first version, then go read it now. It covers what is the Oracle, and some of the stuff Adernak or Optimus Prime might have said that was wrong. Good episode, good revision. At the time, the illustrations were nice, but lacked shadows and rendering. That's pretty much what I have this week. Oh, yeah, our message board. It's as dead as it gets. I'd like more questions from you readers, if you can send me some. The website still has some bugs, and my browser sends me to other pages for some reasons. Don't ask me why and how, I simply don't know. This was Silverbolt Maniac, your Radio Free Sabotage.
You are listening
to Radio
Free Sabotage.
Greetings, trans fans. This is Heath coming to you from coldhardslack.com. Brian and the guys have helped me come back on the show this month to read the Transformers Market Watch for September. Thanks to all the guys for letting me come back on the show. I love this show. It is a very cool show, and I love being on it. Before we get into all the different changes and values for this month, I wanted to let everybody know that when we started the price guide a few months ago, we were only using values out of Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review. Since the inception of the price guide, we have gotten a lot of emails saying, hey, I like Lee's and all, but I think Toy Fair is a more accurate price guide. When are y'all going to have Toy Fair? Well, Tim and I have kicked it around, and Tim's done a little bit of programming to the database, and I sat down and wrote for hours on some new Perl scripts. And finally, the Toy Fair database is up and running. So now, when you go to the Cold Hard Price Guide, you can search values for either Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review or Toy Fair in their respective databases, whatever. Okay, this month on the Market Watch, it was we had some really weird changes. Let me explain. Actually, first of all, I want to point out, since I now have two price guides I'm pulling values out of, the format that I'm going to use is going to be I'll cover Lee's first, and whenever I'm finished with Lee's, I'll get into the changes that Toy Fair recognizes for this month. I feel that's a pretty interesting format, and that's how I will be publishing the Market Watch on my site. If you have any questions, comments, concerns on the price guide, feel free to email me at starscream@coldhardslag.com. But anyway, the way that I'm going to do it this month is, like I said, I'm going to do Lee's first and then Toy Fair. Typically what happens over the course of a month is you see most of your activity in... if you see any activity in Generation 1 for the past 6 months or so, it's always been in Series 3, the 1986 releases. Since, say, March, Generation 1, every now and then we'll see some. Series 2 has been fairly active. Series 3 has been really active. Series 4, 5, and 6, and 7, you might see one change over the course of a month. Like last month, I remember, I think it was like the Sparkabot Fizzle, or Guzzle, I think, went up like $3 on the loose value. I mean, it was just some minute change. This month, almost every toy in the Series 5 1988 release gained loose and shield. I have no idea what caused this phenomenon. I am researching it. But I actually have no idea. So, without further ado, Generation 1, as all these values are according to Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review. Series 1, 1984, no changes, as with Series 2, 1985. Series 3, we had a little bit of activity. The only group that really did anything this month were the cassette tapes. You have, like, Rat Bat Frenzy Gold Weapon variant, took a gain in loose and sealed. Loose increased from $12 to $22, while sealed increased from $32 to $75. The Silver Weapon variant of Rat Bat and Frenzy increased from $15 to $20 loose and from $42 to $65 sealed. Their Autobot counterparts, Rewind and Steeljaw, pretty much follow suit. The Gold Weapon variant increases from $12 to $22 loose, while sealed goes from $32 to $75. The Silver Weapon variant goes from $15 to $20 loose and from $42 to $65 sealed. The last tape group for the year, Ramhorn and Eject, take a similar move. The gold variant goes from $12 to $22 loose, while sealed goes from $32 to $75. And the silver weapon variant increases from $15 to $20 loose, and their sealed increases $42 to $65. That's all the changes for Series 3, 1986. Series 4, 1987 saw no activity this month. Series 5, 1988... my lord. this might take a while, so kick back and grab a bud. Okay. Series 5, 1988. There are so many price changes that I've busted it up into 11 groups. Okay? Group 1 consists of the Sparkabots and the Firecons, Fizzle, Sizzle, Guzzle, Cinder, Soar, Flame, Feather, and Sparkstalker. All take the same gain. They go from $12 to $20 loose, and from $35 to $45 sealed. The second group consists of the Seacons. Overbite, Seawing, Scalore, and Tentakill all increase in sealed, going from $50 to $60. Nautilator takes a gain in sealed, going from $50 to $60. And Snaptrap, the leader of the group, takes an increase in sealed from $95 to $110. All their loose values remain the same. Group 3 consists of the Triggerbots, Backstreet, Override, and Dogfight. All three take a loose gain, going from $12 to $20 loose, and their shield increases from $30 to $40. Group 4 consists of the three Triggercons, Ruckus, Windsweeper, and Crankcase. All three increase from $12 to $20 loose, and from $30 to $45 shield. Group 5 consists of the Autobot tapes that were released in 1986. If you remember the Rewind and Steeljaw and Ramhorn and Eject that I talked about just a second ago from the Series 3 release, they were re-released in 1988. Actually, I think they were released in 86, 87, and 88, come to think of it. Anyway, the 88 release changes as follows. Rewind and Steeljaw, along with Ramhorn and Eject, increased their sealed value from $45 to $65. Squawk Talk and Beast Box, which, if you remember, was the Decepticon kind of gestalt merge group for the tapes. Increases from $45 to $85 sealed. And Grand Slam and Rain Dance, which was the Autobot gestalt cassette group, increases from $45 to $95 sealed. That's a pretty big jump there. Group 6 consists of the small Targetmaster Autobots, Scoop, Landfill, and Quick Mix. All three take a $3 gain in loose value, going from $15 to $18, and their sealed value increases from $35 to $45. Group 7 consists of the small Targetmaster Decepticons, Quake, Spinster, and Needlenose. Quake takes a gain in sealed, going from $50 to $60. Spinster takes a gain in sealed, going from $55 to $65. And finally, Needlenose takes a gain from $60 to $70 sealed. All their loose values remain constant. Group 8 consists of small Headmaster Autobots, Hosehead, Siren, and Nightbeat. Hosehead takes a gain on both loose and sealed, going from $15 to $20 loose and from $35 to $45 sealed. Siren goes from $15 to $22 loose and from $35 to $45 sealed. And Nightbeat picks up the back with going from $20 to $25 loose and going from $40 to $60 sealed. Group 9 consists of Horrible, Fangry, and Squeeze Play. All three rise from $17 to $22 loose and from $35 to $45 sealed. Group 10 consists of Getaway, Joyride, and Splash Dash. All three take a $10 gain in sealed, going from $50 to $60. And finally, Group 11, out of all the changes that took place this year, or this month, in the Series 5 1988 release, the Darkwing and Dreadwind, which merged to form the Big Jet Dreadwing, both of those individually took a rise, going from $85 to $95 sealed. And that, all that, is the changes in 1988 Series 5 Generation 1, according to Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review. Series 6, the 1989 release, there were no changes. Series 7, the 1990 release, there were no changes. Then finally, wrapping up the Generation 1, the Action Masters had a couple of changes. Prowl, Axer, and Overrun all go from $12 to $40 loose and from $30 to $75 sealed. Quite a bit of activity on those three. Starscream increases from $12 to $50 loose and goes from $35 to $100 sealed. Gutcruncher goes from $22 to $65 loose and from $50 to $125 sealed. Megatron goes from $36 to $75 loose and from $90 to $150 sealed. And finally, the last change we see this month occurs with our favorite Autobot leader, Hot Rod. No, I'm kidding. Optimus Prime wraps up this month with a dual gain, rising from $120 to $150 loose and from $285 to $350 sealed. And then for Generation 2, Beast Wars, Machine Wars, Beast Machines, and BotCon exclusive, there were no changes this month as far as Lee's is concerned. Moving along to Toy Fair now, Generation 1, Series 1, 1984 release. Hound increases from $275 to $300 sealed. Both of Optimus Prime's variants increased this month. If you remember, there was the Metal Plate Optimus Prime with a gray roller, and then there was the Metal Plate Optimus Prime with the blue roller. The gray roller variant increases from $315 to $345 sealed, while the blue roller variant increases from $300 to $325 sealed. Let's see, Prowl increases from $275 to $300 sealed. Both of Ratchet's variants, with and without the cross, take the same gain, going from $60 to $65 loose and from $200 to $215 sealed. Apparently there's really no demand for either variant right now. Sideswipe and Sunstreaker take the same rise, going from $300 to $315 sealed. Wheeljack comes from $275 sealed to $300 sealed. Windcharger takes a gain, going from $12.50 to $85 loose. This might have been a typo from last month. I'm still trying to find that file. But, man, $12.50 to $85. And then, check this out. His sealed value increases from $50 to $300. That might be a typo. If I find out that this was a typo, I'll put a little addendum up on the market watch on the site. Megatron goes from 300 to 330 sealed. Soundwave and Buzzsaw go from $45 to $48 loose, and from $150 to $175 sealed. Starscream takes a pretty minor step this month, going from $190 to $200 sealed. And that's it for Series 1 1984 release. Series 2 1985 release, Omega Supreme kicks it off, going from $70 to $80 loose, and from $225 to $250 sealed. Jetfire increases still this year, going from $350 to $375 sealed. Smokescreen goes from $150 to $165 sealed. The six-piece Devastator gift set rises from $275 to $300 sealed. Shockwave rises from $225 to $250 sealed. And the Dinobots, the whole group takes a leap. Let's see here. Grimlock rises from $180 to $185 sealed, while Slag, that's a cool name. Anyway, while Slag, Sludge, and Snarl all go from $100 to $105 sealed, and then Swoop brings up the end, going from $200 to $205 sealed. Toy Fair, Series 3, 1986. Both variations of Metroplex, both the rubber tires and the plastic tires, rise from $25 to $40 loose, while his sealed price goes from $75 to $150. Reflector takes a sealed gain, going from $240 to $250. The Superion 5-piece set takes a small jump, going from $265 to $275 sealed. Blur, the variant that came with the poster, takes a dual gain, going from $22 to $30 loose, and from $60 to $115 sealed. Both of Cup's variants, the metal and the plastic body, take a dual gain. Both variants rise from $65 to $100 sealed. The loose values change a little bit. His metal variant goes from $20 to $25 loose, while the plastic variant goes from $22 to $25 loose. Cyclonus, the purple-eared variant, makes a small jump from $120 to $130 sealed. Both of Scourge's variants, the one with and without the poster, take a dual increase. The variant without the poster increases from $24 to $25 loose, a whole buck, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, $24 to $25 loose, and from $70 to $100 sealed. The variant with the poster goes from $29 to $35 loose, and from $85 to $110 sealed. Moving along to Series 4, 1987, this is the final change. The only change for Series 4 was with the Decepticon-based Scorponok. His loose value increases from $75 to $80, while his sealed value increases from $250 to $300. And that is all the changes out of Toy Fair and Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review for the month. A few final notes here on the Market Watch for this month, and then we'll get it wrapped up and let you listen to the rest of the show. For the entire year, the Generation 1 Autobot, Skyfire or Jetfire, depending on what canon you want to hold. As trans fans, I really don't think we care about canon that much. the toy has been just soaring, no pun intended, in price ever since February. He just started this slow gain each month, maybe increasing $20 to $50 loose and sealed, and it's just been a steady rise all year long. For the past 2 months, the activity has been absolutely stagnant, as I predicted back around March. I figured he'd maybe gain in price up until around BotCon and then die off. While I do not foresee the price coming down that much, if you are planning on buying a Jetfire or Skyfire, you might want to go ahead and pick it up now. The reason I think that he's been increasing in value has a lot to do with the bringing back in like the Gundam Wing and the old Robotech and Macross kind of fighter-style jets and what have you. And I think that's really been what's caused Jetfire to get a lot of attention this year, is the reintroduction of kind of the old-school anime robot thing. So the price might come down a little bit between now and maybe February of next year, But if you're going to pick one up and you don't want to spend an arm and a leg on it, I would go ahead and do it now because I do not foresee the price coming down that much, if at all. It's just going to continue growing. But for now, it's hit kind of a peak where it'll stagnate for a few months and then it'll pick back up. That's about it for the Market Watch this month. Like I said, we now have Toy Fair added to the database, so you can surf into our site, go to the price guide, and browse your toy depending on Lee's or Toy Fair's database. And then the Market Watch that you've just heard, if you'd like to see it in print, I do this every month and put the report for view up on the site under the Market Watch link over on the left-hand side of our main menu. Just click on it. The default will always be whatever the current month is, but you can go ahead and click and read back issues. But that's about it. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, find any typos, or just want to tell me that I am the most awesome guy on the face of the planet, well, that's pushing it. But if you want to leave me any feedback, again, my email address is starscream@coldhardslack.com. That has been the Market Watcher this month. Thanks to all the guys for letting me on the show again this month. And now, back to Radio Free Cybertron.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Greetings and salutations, trans fans. This is your friendly neighborhood mop boy here. Unfortunately, there won't be any Ask RFC this week. However, after the Transformers Market Watch review, I felt that you could all use a little bit of music to wake up. So here's a band called Mr. Goon, which I found on mp3.com, with their Transformers song. Thanks for listening to Radio Free Cybertron.